Bulavanaka, everyone. This is Vina from the Secretariat team here at SBC. For those who have joined us for the launch, if you can just open. So what we're asking you is just to rename yourself. What we mean by this is if you can open the participant side panel, find yourself, and click on More, and then Rename. So for example, state the organization that you're affiliated with, your first name, last name, and country. We are also requesting for those who are not speakers to please turn off your microphone and camera. And for our panelists and speakers, if you can just speak slowly for our language, French and English interpreters, and also for our sign language interpreters. So just a gentle reminder. Linda, shall we do a quick sound check with you and your team?
Yeah, that'd be good. Thank you, Vina. Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Can you hear me, Linda and others?
I can hear you, Yvonne. Nicole, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Margaret, are you there? Margaret, come in. Jane, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me, Linda?
Yes, very clear. Margaret, can I
yes,
see
hi.
You?
Yes, hi.
Fantastic. Everybody's on board, Vina.
Linda, it's just your sound. It's a bit low. If you can either move closer to your microphone or...
Is that better?
Slightly.
Is that better now?
Much better.
Okay.
Okay, over to you, Linda.
Thank you, Vina, and thank you, SBC. Friends, colleagues, good morning, good afternoon, Bulavanaka and bonjour, and welcome to you all, depending on where you are zooming in from, as I understand it, from all over the globe. A special welcome to friends and colleagues from the Pacific. My name is Linda Peterson. I'm from Fiji, and I've been working in the field of gender equality and development in the Pacific for about 25 or more years. I was associated with the beginnings of Talk Fave while with the Pacific Women Shaping Pacific Development Support Unit. And this is a truly exciting development for gender research in the Pacific and for Pacific gender researchers. I'm honored to have been asked to moderate this side event, which will see the launch of the Talk Fave Pacific Gender Research Resource. Just to provide a quick overview of how the session will run, we have an hour for the launch session today, during which three eminent women scholars based at universities across the Pacific and who are also members of the Talk Fave reference group, which will each have around 10 minutes to speak about this new resource and gender research in the Pacific more broadly. This will be followed by about 15 minutes for questions and discussion, after which the session will be closed by a representative of the Department, Australia's Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade, who has provided seed funding for Talk Fave. For the question and answer session, we are asking you please to send through your questions using the chat function, and we'll endeavor to answer as many as possible. And also try to let us know which panelist your question is for. If you have questions or general questions about Talk Fave that aren't specifically for today's panelists, then they can be emailed to info@talksavepacificgender.net. Behind the scenes this morning or this afternoon, members of the Talk Savaire team, Lindy, Sonia, Tanuj, and Anna, are assisting the session and will be supporting us, including the presentations and the monitoring of questions. So thank you. Thank you all for your interest. Without further ado, our first speaker is Yvonne Te Rukirangi o Tangaroa Underhill Sen. Yvonne's an Associate Professor of Pacific Studies at Te Wananga o Waipapa, which is the School of Maori Studies and Pacific Studies at the University of Auckland. She's had a distinguished academic career as a Pacific geographer and has been a champion of Pacific gender research as the director of the New Zealand Institute for Pacific Research, co-chair of the Advisory Group on Research of the Pacific Women Shaping Pacific Development Program, and as an inaugural member of the Talk Savaire Pacific Gender Resource Reference Group. Yvonne will talk to us about the origins of Talk Savaire, what it is, its vision, and how it has come to be. Over to you, Yvonne.
Well, kia ora ana, kia tātou katoa, whakalofalahi atu, and very warm greetings to you all from where I am in Auckland, New Zealand. Thank you, Linda, for that introduction, and particularly thank you to all the other people behind the scenes who we can't see. I want to also thank SBC for giving us the opportunity to launch Talk Savaire. Just scrolling through some of the members, the participants, I'm really excited to see so much interest in this resource, but also to acknowledge many of those who came before us and who were committed not just to research, but also to addressing gender inequality. So I want to recognise all of those colleagues, some of whom are here and some of whom have passed on already. And thirdly, I really want to acknowledge my colleagues and my students in the Centre for Māori Studies and the Centre for Pacific Studies, because they're the ones that, especially in this times of COVID, give me a sense that there really is something exciting happening in our Pacific communities. I've just got three key points that I want to speak to. I want to talk a little bit about research, a little bit about gender inequality, and then a little bit more about how we came to be here and the particular process. So for many of us, research is not a clean word and practice that people automatically think, let's listen to the research. In fact, it has a shady background and it has a shady history for us in the Pacific. So I want to acknowledge that we are working in a space of research now, though, which is very diverse and very exciting and very open. This kind of transformation of research is something hopefully more and more people are seeing as more and more of people of Pacific heritage and people who've got long and deep connections to the region are taking the lead in research and doing it in different ways and using different languages and including different kinds of communities. So I do want to say that although research can be understood as being irrelevant, ivory tower, and not making much difference to things that are happening, I want to kind of draw our attention to the possibilities that research can have in the long term and also in the short term in terms of changing policies, but more importantly, to change the way we think about things, which takes me back to my second point around gender inequality and the sad reality that it is an enduring and painful daily practice that allows, that keeps many women in all their diversities in a place that's not allowing them to flourish. So the concept of how we deal with gender inequality is a really important part of how many researchers have engaged in the region. So the third kind of story I want to just tell is the story about how a group of Pacific feminist scholars, concerned policymakers in Fiji, back in about 2014, had that conversation around what are we going to do with this enduring gender inequality. And really it was that conversation, which I understand was one of many that would have been happening around the Pacific, that led to a consolidated attempt to try and use current initiatives to make a difference to the way in which we do research in the Pacific, but more importantly, the way in which we can access much of the research that has actually been done in the region. So that particular group of women, I know some of them would be people like Claire Slatter, I think it was Vanessa Griffin, I'm not sure, Margaret, if you were in that conversation, but I really need to thank that group of women who did mobilise at that time. It was a time also when Pacific Women Shaping Pacific Development, as a new entity, was looking at how it can support research. It was undertaking research, and it was very keen to continue to support it. So it was a timely moment when Pacific Women decided to support these concerns by contracting myself to undertake a little bit of a research project. And so I was delighted to be able to work with three other Pacific researchers, Dr. Asanati Chantung, Dr. Sarah Penny, and Dr. Evelyn Masters, to pull together a report which was, I think, quite humbly titled, just the beginning of trying to bring research together. So you will be able to find that piece of research somewhere on our portal. But one of the things that we really made clear in that report was the need to ensure that the research that was done in the region by the diversity of groups and individuals was actually accessible to more widely and discoverable so that we could actually get hold of it, we could read it. And so this was the beginning of the suggestion of having a dynamic research portal where people could come in, could have a look at the research, could add to the research, and could engage in conversations about the value of that research, the shortcomings of the research, and in the process, encourage a research community that will allow many more things to flourish and to influence policy and the way things are moving in the region. That was very clear to us. So that particular report led to a great symposium, and in that symposium there was a very strong call, I think this was from 2016, Linda, you might remember, because she was key in making this happen. In that symposium there was a very clear call to have the Pacific Women to do something about this growing interest in high quality, ethical and discoverable research that can deal with issues around gender inequality. So out of that particular symposium came a group called the Advisory Group on Research for working with Pacific Women, and it was working with them in a way to help shape their strategy around research, but it also had a really important outward-looking focus. And that group, and I'll mention some of the names because I know Nicole was involved, Margaret was involved, Professor Betty Lovi, who's not here, was involved. We also had people from Susanna from University of Samoa, and we also had NGOs who were involved as well. CARE, Megan from CARE in Vanuatu. So our group met as a way to both help Pacific Women strategically look at its research project, but also more importantly, for us to talk about how research was actually circulating and being undertaken in the research, and that was in the region, and that was more of an outward-looking project. So I think as we began to work in that space, we realised there were kind of three sorts of ways in which we wanted to have this dynamic portal. One of them was that we wanted to continue to make Pacific gender research discoverable and accessible so that policymakers in all sorts of areas could learn a little bit more about the nuance of gender relations in our region. Secondly, we wanted it to be sure that it highlighted the research that was happening in our region, and in particular the exciting kind of ways in that was done, and the connections to other older research entities. So we were working closely with those entities who had been doing research for a very long time, but also encouraging research to be undertaken in new and innovative ways. And the third thing was to try and ensure that we build new generations of researchers, and those researchers informed by what we know, but also with the courage and the confidence to be innovative and to be creative, so that we can bring those insights and make the kind of difference we really wanted because of the continued concerns around gender inequality. So that was the advisory group on research, and we were fortunate to meet for about 18 months, and then we morphed into another kind of group, but eventually Pacific Women and ANU came to an agreement to begin to start to shape up this portal. And that was when they initiated a TOC survey advisory group, which I'm very happy to have been a part of, and which I can't see Kim Robertson here from SBC was the chair of. There are some people that we haven't mentioned who may not have been able to get here, but I do want to pay reference to our colleagues in Papua New Guinea in particular. It was Professor Betty Lovai who initiated the name TOC survey. We might come back and talk about that a little bit more. But there are many others. Apologies if I've missed you out. But I'm going to end here. And just hopefully that's given us enough to move on, Linda.
Thank you so much, Yvonne, for that sort of the genesis of TOC survey. And we'll come back to that later. And just remember, colleagues and friends, if you have questions for Yvonne, please put them in the chat box and we'll try and address them later during the question and answer session. I have much pleasure in introducing our next speaker, who is Dr. Margaret Mishra, a senior lecturer and deputy head at the School of Law and Social Sciences at the Suva campus of the University of the South Pacific. Her research focuses on feminism in the Pacific, indentured women's activism, and minor history. Prior to her position with the University of the South Pacific, Margaret taught ethics at the Fiji National University and gender studies and literature at Victoria University in Melbourne, Australia. Margaret is an inaugural member of the TOC survey Pacific Gender Resource Reference Group, and she will share her views on the role of research in addressing gender inequalities in the Pacific and why it is important for quality and ethical research to be accessible. Thank you, Margaret. Margaret, you need to unmute.
Yes, can you hear me now? Thank you, Linda. Bula Vinaka from Suva. I'm very happy to be here. I actually joined the Pacific Women's Advisory Group on research quite late. It was actually Claire Slatter who, when she left USD, nominated me to take over in her position as a member on the advisory group. And I've been delighted to be included in this group because I've made lots of new friends and I've managed to, I think, make a contribution to the shape of this portal. And so today I'd like to begin with a little reflection or an anecdote, and I'll read it to you just so that I can reflect on it as I speak. In my closet lies an old shoebox. Inside the box are 12 cassettes wrapped in tissue paper, and really they are there. They are nearly 20 years old. Stored in the cassettes are interviews with women activists from Fiji. The interviews were part of my PhD research on the women's movement in Fiji. The activists I spoke to and who I have a lot of respect for, Shamima Ali, Saista Shamim, Vanessa Griffin, Sharon Bagwan-Rolls, Amelia Rokutuvuna, Claire Slatter, Shona Smiles, Ruth Lepke, Susan Parkinson, and Penny Moore. Some of these women continue to fight for our rights in Fiji and across the Pacific. others have passed on, and we'll always remember them and celebrate their achievements. For many years, I have been searching for a home for the voices in my shoebox. I have published several journal articles based on the transcribed interviews, but I know the value of these primary articulations, and I feel that they can benefit researchers, practitioners, and students. And I think they should be preserved. And now I think I have found the dwelling place for them, Toksave, Pacific Gender Resource. So the first question I was asked to address is, what is the role of research in addressing gender equalities in the Pacific? And I want to emphasize the point Yvonne has just made about research. So when we talk about research, we're not just talking about material coming out of dusty old archives, or, you know, we are talking about research in a really broad sense. And I love the archives, it's not to say that's, you know, but the point I'm trying to make is that we're including a range of materials here and sources, like the interviews, My Voice is in the Shoebox, policy and evaluation documents, oral histories, archival records, stories, poems, paintings, book chapters, journal articles, they're all research. And I think they can play a critical role in addressing gender inequalities in the Pacific. You know, when we talk, and in the Pacific we're very good at talking, and when we talk or talk about our lived experiences using a range of approaches and mediums, we can generate awareness. And we can foster dialogues around gender issues that are specific to the Pacific. And I think that's the point I really want to emphasize. It's that sort of talk that we want to encourage through our research. And I also want to stress that Toksave is a resource that brings together research that studies the production, the reproduction, and resistance to norms that produce inequality across all genders. So by having access to resources about men, women, LGBTQI communities, we can better understand how gender is performed and woven into our everyday lives. When we are informed through research that is relevant to our lives, we are in a better position to critique the structures and the practices that contribute to our oppression oppressions. Some of us may draw on qualitative or quantitative research outputs uploaded on Toksave to advocate for changes to existing policies and laws. We can also learn about methodologies used in the Pacific to improve research processes and to enhance our outputs. And we also hope that Toksave will offer a safe space for us to critically evaluate inequalities highlighted through our research. And through these dialogues, we can bring about change in our homes, in our communities, in our countries, the region, and the world. And the last question I was going to answer or address is, why is it important for quality research to be accessible? I often receive emails from university students and friends from NGOs who want to access my journal articles or other articles that they think I may know the location of, but they don't know where to look. And now I can say, oh, go to Toksave. You'll find it there. And if you don't find the resource there, we'll work towards getting those documents put up following the processes outlined in the portal. So I think it's really important because it's now this one-stop place for all our researchers Yvonne spoke about. And having quality research in one place saves time, but it also brings together people who want to study gender issues in the Pacific. And high quality research that is ethical, as Yvonne has mentioned, and I'm a teacher of ethics, so I want to emphasize this point too, can stand up to scrutiny, and it can be used to inform laws and policies that relate to gender. And when quality research is easily accessible, it can promote capacity building and provide opportunities for communities of practice to emerge in the Pacific. And when we share our work in one place, other researchers, practitioners, and policymakers can quickly access knowledge and information that is regionally and internationally relevant. So I see Toksave becoming an important resource for our students, for students at the University of the South Pacific, and for students at universities throughout the Pacific. If you're studying gender, history, sociology, anthropology, development studies, climate change, science, economics, social work, politics, ethics, we hope that Toksave will become a place where you can find research that is useful for you and where you can put and share some of your research as well. And we welcome thesis submissions and so forth. And I think Yvonne will, Nicole will talk a little bit more about that. But I just wanted to say that I'm delighted to be part of the virtual launch of this portal. I know it has taken some time. And I remember Fijian activist Nolene Nambulivo some time ago mentioning at one of the consultations for this portal, and I hope I'm citing her correctly. She said something to the effect that I'm nearly 50 now. I really want this portal to be put up in my lifetime. And I remember sitting there thinking, yes, you know, we really need to move on this. And I'm so glad it finally happened and that we have this portal up now. And I think the challenge for us is to ensure that Toksave continues to be a living space for our research and for the communication of news and events relating to gender in the Pacific. And we warmly invite you all to join us in enriching this resource by filling it with the voices that belong to us. Thank you, and Anunnaki.
Wow, thank you so much, Margaret. That was wonderful. And I hope Nolene's out there listening or somebody can tell her. It's happening. All right, we'll move on to our next speaker. And I can see that people are asking for the portal link, and that's going up on the chat site as well. So just bear with us, and we'll provide you with that information at the end of the session. I'm honored to be able to introduce our next speaker, Professor Nicole Haley, a political anthropologist with more than 25 years research experience in the Pacific. Through a series of initiatives, including the successful bid for the Australian National University to work with others in the region to build the Toksave Pacific gender resource, Nicole has worked to overcome the structural educational disadvantages that researchers in the Pacific Island region face by building a pipeline to the development of research skills. This leadership was recognized by the Australian National University Executive when she was named a 2021 finalist for the Claire Burton Award for Excellence in Equity and Diversity. Thank you so much for being on the panel here, Nicole. Please show us what the Toksave Pacific Gender Resource looks like, and we're really interested to hear your views on the role of universities in the initiative. Over to you, Nicole.
Thanks, Linda. And he waraka imakelo. That was a lovely introduction, but I want to say firstly how wonderful it is to be here with my fellow panelists who've been involved in bringing this portal to fruition, and also to give a call out to Kim Robertson, who's been the chair of the Toksave reference group, and my amazing colleagues at the ANU behind the scenes, Sonia Palmieri, Lindy Cannon, and Hannah McMahon, who really worked to bring this resource to life and to sort of bring forth that vision that you know, that Yvonne and others have championed now over many, many years. So as Linda mentioned, I'm going to share a few PowerPoint slides and walk you through the Toksave Pacific Gender Resource. I'm going to show you what it looks like, how you can sign up to become a member, and how to search for gender research on the website. So the screen that you've got in front of you is the homepage, and it's what you'll see when you log on to the TalkSurvey Pacific GenderNet. It has all the, I suppose, usual features that you might expect in a website. But to start, I want to really draw your attention to the top right-hand corner, which is the sign-up button. And we'd really encourage those of you who are conducting Pacific Gender Research or simply have an interest in Pacific Gender Research to sign up and to become a member of the TalkSurvey community. Joining up will enable you to get access to some of the member-only parts of the site, for instance, the discussion pages and the directory of researchers. The main purpose of the portal, though, is about making gender research accessible. So right there in the middle of the screen is the Find Gender Research Search Now button, and you can click on that and search for gender research. All of the research in the portal is tagged under various things, so you can search under those headings to find the sort of research that you're looking for. Alternately, you can search for research by hitting the research little button on the top banner. Importantly, you can also submit your own research to the site. And as the others have mentioned, Yvonne and Margaret today, we really, really want this to be a live website where we would encourage those who are working in this space to submit your own research and make that accessible to colleagues working in the region. You can both find and submit research from the main homepage. And from the homepage, you can also, at the top on the banner, launch the discussion page, which I'll show you in a minute. So you can access the various different parts of the portal from the homepage, but the key things around finding research and submitting research are right there front and centre. If we go to the next slide now, this is what you'll see once you've searched for research. So you've put something in and you use the search function and it will show up an article. And all of the articles in there carry this information. If we can go back to the previous, that one. So if you have a look at the top, you'll find the title of the article. Beneath that, the list of authors who have been involved. And on the portal, you can search for work by particular scholars or authors, or you can search by thematic tags. Once you've found an article, it will come up with the abstract there that you can see, and at number 8 there, the thematic characterization of the article. So this one is actually about the environment. And each of those topics or tags has its own little icon to make it very accessible. Beneath that, you'll find there'll be a link either to the PDF article or an external link to where you can access the article. And then on the bottom right-hand side of the screen, some tabs where you can share the resource through various different social media outlets or via email. So the portal has been designed in such a way that it's easy to find research, it's easy to share research, and it's easy to access research. If we go to the next slide, this is what you see if you hit the submit research button. And as we said, we want to encourage those working in the space to submit your own research here and other sorts of, I suppose, products, like we sort of talked about journal articles and book chapters, but we've also mentioned theses or the recordings that Margaret has mentioned. It might be photographs that people have and things like that. So there's scope to upload a broad range of research products there. When you're submitting something to the portal, you'll be asked to provide like key information around the title, the year of publication, authors, etc. At 13 there, there's a drop-down menu and you'll select the country or countries to which the article relates. And then at 14, you'll find other drop-down menus and tags where you can tag the article, whether it's about the environment or whether it's about gender-based violence. So there's an opportunity to put in an abstract. And then at the bottom there, you'll find at 16, a declaration where you can you can identify whether the article has been peer-reviewed or not peer-reviewed and whether you have the ability to share that through there. Then you simply drag or select the file to upload it or provide an external link. So there's two ways that you can share work through the portal. The following slide gives you an indication of what the discussion page looks like. And here you can see a discussion that was started by one of our colleagues, Lindy, who's been involved in doing research on family protection orders in PNG. And so she's put a question up there. And her colleague, our colleague Judy Putt, who's collaborated with Lindy on that project, has responded with further information there. So we would encourage people to, you know, the site is a place where you can ask questions, go out to the community of practice, that is the members of the Talk Savvy Gender Resource. You know, if we want information, if people, you know, to ask colleagues if they know about things that have been published in a particular space, or simply to start a discussion about a new piece of research or something that you've read and that you want to share with colleagues. So there's a lot of scope there for us. And this is a resource for all of us who are working in this space, all of us who are you know, committed to Pacific gender research and addressing those systemic inequalities. On the final, and again, on each of the pages, there's an option for people to sign up if they're not a member. And so again, we would encourage people to join. I think as of this morning, ahead of the launch, we had about 50 members. But we'd obviously like to increase that significantly coming out of today's event, and we would really encourage everybody to share links around the portal. The final slide then has various different ways that you can connect with us. Obviously the website address for the portal, talksavvypacificgender.net, and then also various different handles for Twitter, etc. If people have technical questions about the website and how it works or different things, please don't hesitate to send an email through to the info@talksavvygender.net, and we can try and address some of the technical questions and difficulties that people might experience in trying to use it. But yeah, that's an overview or a walkthrough of the site. Obviously, it's early days, and it's really going to benefit from members joining and uploading their own material, so that we can share and make all of this accessible.
Great. Thanks so much, Nicole. And I hope everybody was able to follow the walk through the website. And for those of you who have been asking for the link, it's now in the chat box. So you can see it right there. And the chat box is abound with congratulatory messages and everybody saying that this is a wonderful resource. So that's great. And also you will note that on the website that Nicole just took you through, there's opportunity once you have registered to provide feedback to the wonderful team in the background on things which might need to be improved, etc. So thank you all so much. Well, I think we're making good time. We've got now about 10 to 12, maybe 13 minutes for questions. And as I said, if you have them, please post them in the chat box. And we'll wait to see if any of those come through. We do have some questions for the panelists. If we don't have any from the forum. And so I'm just wondering if we don't have any questions ready in the chat box.
Linda, there is a question in the chat box there asking about whether people can submit unpublished theses. Yes. And yes, we would very much encourage that. So for those of us who are, teachers and supervisors, obviously we want to encourage our students to submit their work, whether that's theses or other written work here. But please, we would encourage all sorts of contributions.
Yeah, thanks, Nicole. Just saw that. Wonderful. All right, while we're waiting for other questions to come through, I'm just wondering if we can go back to the panelists on some questions. And Yvonne, I was just wondering whether you could share your thoughts just very briefly and how you think TalkSave will address some of the structural barriers to gender equality research, to quality gender equality research in the Pacific.
Thanks, Linda. And I did want to say, we are in 2021 and we've only just got this resource here. And so I think we are not looking for rapid change. We are looking for the ways in which we can do things differently. And this is a slight difference. We still have issues around how do we manage the knowledge that comes into the portal. In particular, right now, it's mostly English. So we're going to have to keep doing work around different kind of language input. We need to keep doing work. As I see here, someone's mentioned about people with disabilities. There's still work that needs to be done around the disabilities and making sure it's accessible. And there's also work about knowledge that people may not want to have an open access. So there's still a lot of issues. And these issues are not light issues. These are not minor issues. They may seem technical, but they speak to what we're talking about having access to knowledge that we can use in a range of ways. So it's still a work in progress, but I have to say I haven't seen any other platform which has enabled the collaborations that we're talking about and which promise even more kinds of interesting collaborations. And we will keep working on that. I think that TalkSave reference group is excited that we've got to this space, but really recognizing to deepen the structural changes that we want to have still requires work. And there's still a big commitment for us to do that and for universities to come behind it throughout the region, but also for other interest groups to be part of it. So in terms of the structural changes, I'm the sort of person that thinks that we need to take this long and slow, as well as dealing with some of the immediate pains that people have. So, I'm not sure if that answers the questions, except to say this is continued a work in progress, and everybody that I know that's been involved in this will continue to say that. And we look forward to ideas about how we can make the dynamic, but also be aware of the way in which we, which knowledge we put up here and how we use it.
Okay, thanks, Yvonne. We do have a question in the chat box from Good Return, Marlene Duffer. She says the sign in the blurb seems to imply that the website is primarily for researchers to sign up. As someone that may not submit but would like to access the data, do I need to sign up or can I just access? Maybe Nicole, that one's for you.
Yes, sure. So anybody can access the, in terms of the find research functions on the website, everybody can access that, and that's free to the public. It's free to join as well, and we would encourage people with an interest in this space to join, because we really want to you know, it not just to be a portal or a website, but we want to establish a real community of practice around this. And so I think others have mentioned earlier today around, you know, how wonderful it's been working with colleagues across the region and at different universities and NGOs around our work on the Pacific Women Advisory Group on Research, and now in terms of this reference group, and it's really brought people together, I think, in new and exciting ways. And we see the portal as being an extension of that, and we want to bring others into that community. So we very much encourage people to join if you have an interest. But yes, you can access the articles regardless of whether you join. And it's free to access the article. So,
thanks, Nicole. Another question that's come up in the chat box, which we may answer now, part of it now, but maybe in a later discussion with the team. But from Salote Wangairatu, can you tell us about some major challenges you came across in getting this platform up and running, particularly in relation to cultural obstacles? Any one of the panelists want to offer wisdom on that?
I might handball that one to Yvonne.
Well, you know, I guess that is why I've said that research is a tricky thing, because it's not just about self-evident data. It's about the way we think and the way we ask questions. So clearly, that has got a very deep cultural aspect to it. And so anytime we talk about research, we're talking about the practice of gathering that data and of engaging with people and sharing with people. And we all know in our respective cultural spaces that this is a highly political thing to do. What you tell, what you share, who you talk to. And so when we set up this portal, I think all of us came with that knowledge in the back of our minds. And while it was never an explicit consideration that we had, all of us involved in this brought that in and were very aware of those kinds of cultural components. So in one way, it is a technical thing to set this up. And, you know, again, I'd say thank you very much to the ANU team for setting that up as a technical thing. But it's only one platform that we can learn and share about our research. So, yes, I would say there were cultural obstacles, and that came through in quite respectful discussions that we had about whether we would show photographs, for instance, on the portal. And you notice that we don't have photographs on the portal. So that was one of the discussions we had. Now, some people might think that the images we have on the portal are also a cultural appropriation. And they may be right in that as well. So what I'm trying to say is that I think the group that has come and discussed this has brought a very clear and sensitive consideration to those cultural obstacles. But we've also chosen to move through and deliver this as we can, and really hope that it continues to be a place where we can keep those kinds of questions you know, alive and able to be addressed in a respectful kind of manner. I hope.
Thanks, Yvonne. Thanks, Yvonne. We've got 5 minutes, and so I'm just going to ask Margaret to respond to one question. Just if you can take a minute, if that's possible, Margaret. What are some of the features of Talk Save that you think will appeal in particular to students, to gender studies students in the Pacific?
Thanks, Linda. I think the students will benefit a lot from having all the resources that they need in one place. Our students study work not just from Fiji, but articles from across the region, and always are writing to us to ask, where can I find this? And I think that would be a really good resource for them. But in addition to that, I think it's really important that when you study a subject, you actually have, you engage with the people who are perhaps putting up the articles, writing the articles, the putting the pictures, the, you know, whatever research you might be sharing. It's nice for the students to actually have that interaction, that space to join a community where it's not just a subject you're studying, but it becomes, you know, a passion, and you start to develop a love for this this research that you're supposed to be submitting assessments on, but then, you know, you take it a little further. And I think it's great that they can see what events are on, how they can be more engaged with the subjects that they're studying. So I think it'd be an amazing resource for all our students across the Pacific.
Thank you, Margaret. Thank you. All right. Colleagues, friends, unfortunately, due to time, we are not able to answer any more, take any more, or field any more questions. But again, as Nicole said in the slide, if you have any questions, please send them to info@talksavepacificgender.net, and the team will definitely get back to you. So to close this session this afternoon, I have much pleasure in introducing Jane Bastin Sikimeti to make some closing remarks. Jane is the director of the Pacific Gender Section at the Office of the Pacific at the Australian Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade. She completed her Bachelor of Arts at the Australian National University with a major in Women's Studies, and she's an Australian woman with Tongan heritage. Development of this wonderful resource, the Talk Save Pacific Gender Resource, has been possible due to funding from the Australian government through the Pacific Women Shaping Pacific Development Program, as well as the Australian National University. So it's fitting that we call on Jane for the final words. Over to you, Jane.
Good morning from Canberra. It's a pleasure to join you today, and thank you, Linda, Yvonne, Margaret and Nicole for that fascinating discussion. I confess that my introduction to Talk Save, you know, started about a week ago when I was asked to join the session. And I'm thrilled that DFAT had been able to seed fund together with ANU, this fantastic resource for the region. I think I'd just share a few things that I took away from the session today. From Yvonne, I heard about the beginnings of an accessible, dynamic community, and really accessible in so many ways, I think at so many different levels. You know, given the history of research, you know, one of the questions just now, Yvonne talked about the political and cultural elements, and it really is clear that I think Talk Save goes a long way to making it accessible to a broad community, I think, of people across the community, really bringing together the lived experiences of women across the Pacific together with policymakers, students, academics and government. So that was an extraordinary beginning, I think, that has got you to where you are. From Margaret, Margaret, your evocative story of the voices of Fijian women that you have on tape, I think, really talked about, brought together that tangible value of Pacific women's voices, and the fact that I think you also really made clear that research is much broader than what we might, some people may think of in terms of academic papers. So I really enjoyed that story. And Nicole, it was fantastic that you could show us in practice that the portal, is there and accessible. This isn't a concept, it's a practice that we can all use. I was really pleased to have a look at the portal this week, and I've saved it to my favourites, and it's certainly something that I think I will use in DFAT, and that I'm sure my team who work on Pacific gender will use. It will be a fantastic resource for us. And I think you've really shown, I think, talking about the ethics and the quality of research, I think, is really important and something that I've taken away. I think that's perhaps the real value of the of Talk Survey, that is different perhaps to other other points of accessibility for research. You're really bringing together a broad community, which is very exciting. So it's fantastic that DFAT has been able to support it. I think now, to really come to fruition, it requires, as I said, a broader community to contribute to the portal. So I really look forward to keeping an eye on how it grows, and looking at really diverse contributions from across the region coming to the portal. And I was also really struck that I think something that is a website or a portal, I think you've really brought to life, it's so much more than that. It is actually a place, and I think I had a real sense of community from the presenters and the reference group today. So congratulations. Thank you. It is very exciting, and I will certainly use it and encourage everyone to use it, both to access the research that's there, but also to contribute. The fact that we've got research coming from the Pacific it is fantastic, and I think really sort of shows where we're at in 2021. I appreciate Yvonne's point that it's a long and slow road, but fantastic that I think the research is coming from the community, not coming from the region, about women's lived experiences and kind of not coming from outside. So congratulations, thank you, and very pleased to support this into the future. Thank you.
Jane, thank you so much for those closing remarks. And as this session comes to an end, there are more comments starting to come into the chat box. One of them in particular, which is about how do we link government to this, please? And so you've heard it said loud and clear that a Talk Survey is open to everybody, regardless of where you are, what your role is, who you are, where you stand in terms of progressing gender equality. I just wanted to, in rounding off the session, just touch on what Jane said. Obviously there's the issue of sustainability, and we have to see this wonderful resource grow and continue into the future. One of the things that the purpose of this launch was about was to raise, and Talk Survey is about raising awareness amongst policymakers on the intersections between gender research and solutions to address gender inequalities in the Pacific. And this group and the broader research group is really interested and wanting to, desiring, connecting this kind of work with policy spaces and policy areas. And so these are some of the things that we continue to think about. Without further ado, I just wanted to say thank you, Jane. Thank you, panelists. Thank you to the Talk Survey team. Thank you, SBC. And most of all, thank you to all of you who signed up and attended the launch. We've been overwhelmed by your interest, and please send any questions that you have to the info link. and encouraging you all to sign up to Talk Save. Vinakava Alevu, everybody, and have a wonderful rest of the day.
On behalf of the Triennial Secretariat team and the Triennial Working Group, we'd like to say thank you. Thank you to all our participants and to all the side event organizers. We thank you for your time and appreciate the insightful and rich discussions. That's the end of our program for today. We will see you all next week on the 27th of April for the continuation of our triennial program. Have a blessed weekend and please stay safe. Mwave.
Lodo, where are you?
I am here. I'm hooking up the small conference to that one now.
Okay. Can you stop the recording? Because I think it's a cloud recording, huh?
No, I've done a local recording.
Oh, that's why I can't stop it.
Okay. Should I stop it?
Yes, please.